fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Fruit. We're talking about fruit this morning. My old friend and pastor, his name was Gareth. He lives in Wales. And he used to say these words to me. He'd say, "Alan, that which is soon ripe is soon rotten." And it took me a few thoughts to understand what he was saying. What he was saying was that fruit takes time to grow. An apple isn't fully produced or fully grown in a day. A banana or an orange, they don't grow over the weekend. No, the reality is that we all know that fruit takes time to grow. And so it is with God's work in your life and mine. Is that part of the Holy Spirit's work in your life is to produce and nurture and bring about growth of fruit. And the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, and the rest of them. Now, I don't know about you, but you may have done this. I have done this on many occasions. I've looked at that list and I've thought to myself, love, yeah, have a bit of that. Joy, I get that sometimes. Peace, patience, I'm hoping to get that one for Christmas. Goodness, haven't got that one yet, but I'm working on it. Faithfulness, have you ever looked at these things and thought to yourself, I'm doing okay on this one, but I'm not doing okay on that one? Sure, we've all done that, haven't we? And the other thing as well, I heard somebody say a long time ago that if you have the first one, love, and you have the last one, self-control, you may have all of those in between. I don't know if that's true. But all I know is that it takes time for fruit to grow. And so God's work in your life is to produce fruit. So you are the tree. And these things will grow as you walk in faith with God, that he will do his work in your life to produce fruit. Now, this morning, the other thing as well was, I don't know if you've noticed that they're actually a description of Jesus. Did you notice that? Is that Jesus is, he's loving, he loves you. He's very joyful. If you've ever been in the presence of the Lord Jesus, you may have known joy because he's a joyful person. He's at peace. He's at peace with himself. He's at peace with the Father. He's at peace with the Holy Spirit. And so within the family of the Trinity, there's peace. And he's patient. He's patient with you. When you wander, or when you get it wrong, or when you mess up, or when you kind of, you're not walking in the zone, he's patient with you. He doesn't come in all guns blazing, and he doesn't kick the door down. No, because he's patient, and he's kind. Jesus, he's kind to you. If you hear nothing else this morning, know that God is kind, and he's kind towards you. And when he speaks to you, he speaks kindly. That's the way he is. He's faithful. So you can know that as you're on the journey of faith, that God's promise to you is that he will be faithful to you. No matter what you go through, no matter what comes your way, no matter what you're facing, he is faithful to you. And so therefore, you're not on your own. When you're walking this life on this earth by faith, God is with you because you have given yourself to him. And he's gentle. Now, I like that. I like that God is gentle. Because sometimes people have this idea that he's in the sky and he has a stick in his hand and he's ready to kind of slap the person the minute they do something wrong. He's not like that. He's kind and he's gentle. And he exercises self-control. Isn't that lovely that we live in a world where God exercises self-control? I like that. And that's actually a description of Jesus and a description of God. This morning, what I'd like to do is, there is one particular fruit that I'd like to share some thoughts on. And it is the one called kindness. Kindness, it's a juicy fruit. If you've ever tasted kindness, it's juicy. It's really tasty. If you've ever known kindness, or if you've ever been on the receiving end of kindness, you'll know that it tastes so juicy. It's a juicy fruit. It tastes lovely, the fruit of kindness. Some fruit, like plums, when you bite into a plum, you have to be careful because there's a stone in the plum. Have you ever noticed that? And some other fruit, there are pips, like an orange. Have you ever eaten an orange and you have to spit the pips out? You see, with kindness, you don't have to spit the pips out because there's no pips and there's no stones. You can just enjoy kindness because it's a juicy fruit. It's one of those fruits of God's Spirit that's so tasty and so nourishment. If you've ever known kindness, if you've ever been kind, I'm sure the other person has known the nutritiousness and the juiciness of kindness. Have you ever picked an apple from an apple tree? And one of the things what you may do is you pick an apple and you have to reach up. But then you see an apple that's high on the tree. And in order to get that apple, you have to get a ladder or you have to get a chair. And so what you do is you get your ladder and you have to climb up and you have to reach for the apple that's high above. It's not like that with kindness. You don't have to get a ladder. You don't have to get a chair because kindness is within reach for each and everybody. The fruit of kindness is so low that anybody can reach it. A young person could reach it. A teenager could reach it. An old person could reach it. Kindness is within reach for each and everybody. Kindness, the fruit of kindness. Have you ever gone and picked blackberries? When I was thinking about kindness this morning, I was reminded of blackberries. Sometimes if you go and pick some blackberries, you have to be careful of some thorns, don't you? Sometimes there may be thorns as you're picking the berries. And you have to be very careful that you don't get pricked by the thorn. And I was thinking about that. And in life, you may come across some people that are very thorny. And you may come into places that can be described as very thorny. But you can still know the goodness of kindness. That wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whatever people is surrounding you, you can know the goodness of kindness even when thorns are present. Did you know that kindness is very powerful? I remember years ago when I was down on my luck and I wasn't in a great place. Actually, I was a beggar on the streets of Dublin. I was homeless. And I lived like that for many a year because life wasn't very good at that particular time. And I remember one day, I was sitting on the street, I had a blanket wrapped around me, I had a cup in my hand, and this man came towards me. And he said to me, he says, hello, and he got to know me. And so over the next couple of weeks, every Wednesday, it was a Wednesday, he used to come back, and on this particular Wednesday, he had a plastic bag in his hand, and in the bag were some clean clothes. And he said to me, here, there's some clean clothes for you. And he says, see the bag, hold on to the bag, you can put your dirty clothes in the bag. And so this happened that every Wednesday, this man would come and bring me warm, clean clothes. I'd take off my dirty clothes, put them in the bag, put the clean clothes on me. And even 20 years later, I still remember this loving act of kindness. It left its mark upon my life. You see, that's the power of kindness, is that you can be kind to somebody and you could actually leave a mark upon somebody's life. That you could leave the mark of God, the mark of the Holy Spirit on somebody's life by simply being kind. Don't underestimate the power of kindness. Kindness is very powerful. Has somebody ever been kind to you? And you've just known, that was powerful. They were kind to me. They said something kind to me. They gave me something, and it was so kind that it touched your heart. It touched your life. You see, kindness has power. And so therefore, I encourage you to be kind. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, if you're in college, if you're in school, if you're in the community, if you're in church, hey, be kind, because you, in that simple act of kindness, by faith, you could leave your mark upon somebody's life. You do not know the ripple effect that that could have on somebody's life simply by being kind. Ah, kindness. It's a lovely fruit. It's a juicy fruit. Kindness. We cannot let go of kindness. We've got to keep hold of kindness. We cannot allow it to slip out of our hands or just to ignore being kind. You've got to keep on being kind. I think that God's people are called to be kind. Just kindness, that grows within your heart, within your life, that becomes not only a description of Jesus, but actually becomes a description of you. That when, if somebody was to describe you, they would describe you as being kind. I remember some time ago, I was at this training event, and I was listening to a TED talk, and the speaker of the TED talk said these words. They said, "We live in a world where there is a lack of empathy." And I thought about that. Some people may say that about kindness. People may say, "We live in a world where there is a lack of kindness." I don't agree, because I still think that kindness is here, that it is growing in the lives of God's people, that God is still committed to producing and growing kindness in his people. I know, because I've seen it. Have you ever seen kindness? Have you ever been on the receiving end of kindness? Kindness is here to stay. It hasn't left the building. It's just sticking around, and it's going to be around for a long time. Continue to be kind. Proverbs 3, verse 3 and 4 says this: "Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart, that you will find favor with both God and people, and then you will earn a good reputation." Everybody loves a little bit of kindness. Everybody loves somebody who is kind. Kindness is a good thing. I'd like to share two myths about kindness. Have you ever heard of these? The first one is, kill them with kindness and bury them with a smile. Have you ever heard that? Kill them with kindness and bury them with a smile. Friends, I'm going to tell you straight. You don't have to kill anybody this morning. Everybody take a big sigh of relief. There is no killing. All you have to do is just simplicity by faith. Just be kind. You don't have to kill anybody or bury them with a smile. No shovels, no pickaxes this morning. We're not digging graves. No, you don't have to bury anybody this morning. You don't have to kill anybody. All you got to do is walk with God in the simplicity of faith and allow him to produce kindness in and through your life. That's the first myth. The second myth is, have you ever said this or heard somebody say these words? "You got to be cruel to be kind." No, you don't. You don't have to be cruel at all. You don't have to be cruel to be kind. You just have to be kind. Don't be cruel. Don't be nasty. Don't be vindictive. Don't be malicious in any way. Just be kind. You don't have to be cruel to be kind. That's a way of the world. But you are citizens of heaven. You are called to a higher call. You are God's people. And if anybody knows the kindness of God, it's God's people. That's you. So you don't have to be cruel to be kind. And you don't have to kill anybody. I hope you feel relieved this morning. Okay, two more scriptures that I'd like to read here regarding kindness. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 says this: "He is rich in kindness and grace, that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding." And the psalmist writes in Psalm 145, verse 17, "The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness." Did you know that this morning? That God is very kind to you because he loves you dearly. There is nothing that he can do to add anything to his love or to take anything away from his love. He is lovingly kind to you. And Proverbs chapter 16 verse 24 says this, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Kind words, that's true. Have you ever come across somebody and they've spoken kindly to you and it's caught your attention and you've realized that's lovely? It's actually, that's a very good description of kind words. It's, they are like honey. They're sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. I don't know if you've ever heard this quote before, but a man called Mark Twain said these words regarding kindness. He says, kindness is a language the deaf can hear and the blind can see. I like that. Kindness is a language. Have you ever thought about learning a language? Learn the language of kindness. That is, just speak kindly. Speak kind words to your boss. Speak kindly words to the people that irritate you, to the people that annoy you, to the people that kind of get your goat. This is how to respond. Just speak kindly. You see, the language of kindness is a language that everybody understands. It's a language no matter where you are, if you're in Ireland, if you're in Australia, if you're in Mexico, if you're down under in New Zealand, no matter where you go, everybody speaks the language of kindness. Everybody knows the language of kindness because when you speak that language, it's a loving language. It's lovely when people speak kindly to one another. So, what are we saying this morning? We started by saying that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, produces this type of fruit. Going to leave you with these thoughts. You see, different fruit need different conditions in order to grow. Some fruit grows in hot climates. Other fruit grows in a colder climates. It depends on the conditions. But I know this, is that whatever the conditions are of your life, that God is still committed to working in your life and producing the fruit of the Spirit in your life because he desires to see you loving, joyful, gentle, a person of kindness. Is that he is committed to your life to such an extent that he is going to water your life with his love and his light and his blessing because he's committed to growing the fruit of the Spirit in and through your life. And so if you ever wonder to yourself, what's God doing in my life? Yes, he has a plan for your life, but part of the work of God's Spirit is to produce and grow the fruit of the Spirit. And you may say, but the conditions aren't great. No, God knows the perfect conditions for growing his fruit. And those conditions may be a season of coldness. It may be a hot climate where you're feeling hot and sticky. But know this, that God is working in your life to grow fruit. What is the fruit? It is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so this morning, would you be willing to say to God, continue to do your work. Continue to water my life with your Spirit, with your light and with your love. Continue to produce the fruit of the Spirit in me and through me so that when I come into contact with other people, that they can see evidence of God's work in my life. That they may know that you are kind. That they may know that you are gentle. That they may know that you are loving because you're a follower of the Lord Jesus. And so would you be willing just to say, Lord, I seek to be kind because I'm a follower of you. But I also welcome you to do your work in my heart. Maybe we might have some instrumental music And I'd just like you just to just say to the Lord, come to me, Lord, and do your work in my heart. That whatever the conditions of your life, you could be kind, even to those that challenge you.